It's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEM. We're happy to be here on a Monday. Joe, did you see this? I thought of you. I don't know why, but I thought, because I'm like, you know what? Joe would have something to say about this. When I saw this over the, and it kind of plays into some of the stuff we're talking about today. Kmart is closing its last full-size store in the U.S. Did you see this?
Oh, I did not. I know they were down to like two locations a year ago.
The one, it's in Bridgehampton, New York, in Long Island, closing its doors for good on October 20th. I was actually more surprised that one existed than I was that something would close.
So I've kept a close eye on Kmart because, you know, it's had a fast decline. I know the one in Times Square closed a few years ago, or outside of Times Square. But no, I did not know that they were only down to one. And I guess they're down to two. This is the last full-size one. And one will stay open in Miami. Will that become like Blockbuster in Oregon?
I don't think so.
No, it's not the same thing.
Is there any like nostalgia for Kmart? I feel like I can smell it.
Yes, but I think for us, we're too young to have Kmart nostalgia. Because, hear me out. Because by the time I can remember Kmart, right, there was a Kmart in Hornell. By the time I can remember Kmart, they were already starting to be dated, dirty, right? There are people that have memories of when Kmart was first on the scene, before Walmart, before Target. There was Kmart, clean stores, lots of variety. The Kmarts I remember from a young age to the last one that was open are dirty. They had that smell.
Say, clean and Kmart don't really go hand in hand.
Empty shelves. I remember they used to, and you know, Big Lots is having this issue now. Anytime I walk into a Big Lots, there's just, you know, sections, which I worked in retail, Brian. You don't want sections empty on a shelf. Though my memories of Kmart are dirty, empty shelves, and the smell of, depending on if you went to the Boulevard location or the Walden location, either a smell of Little Caesars or of popcorn.
It was generally a slight smell of concession food mixed with the stale air of the building.
Yeah.
And it was like a distinct Kmart smell. You know, Hills and Ames, you smelled the popcorn because it was right there when you walk through the door. And like, that's the smell that you associate with it. Kmart was a little bit different.
The buildings were older, so it did have that musty smell.
Yeah, it was just something a little bit different.
By the way,
Target came around. But I remember Target coming into, you know, I remember before Target existed. Target came around and
they started with the popcorn.
Yeah, that's when you really started going like, man, this Kmart place, like what's is it not normal to just have stuff thrown everywhere on the floor? Apparently not. And that's when I think it really started to go downhill.
Yeah.
The same could be said, that's like the Media Play Best Buy thing.
Right.
You know, Media Play was the big store for so long, and then Best Buy came along and you're like, wow, this store, like they never clean it. What's going on? And you'd always kind of go to the other one.
Media Play did always have the better variety. You just had to go to do a lot of work to find it.
And they had used.
Yeah, they
which
did.
Which was huge.
They sure did.
Used was big. And Kmart had used, though it wasn't advertised that way.
It was not advertised as used.
It's just there.
And, you know, Kmart was supposed to be saved, the whole Kmart Sears thing, and then they just both completely went downhill. You know, Kmart bought Sears. I think it was Kmart that bought Sears. And then both just... I think that's the way it was. Or maybe Sears bought Kmart, one or the other. And now both have gone down. There are three Sears stores remaining. Actually, now you got me into Nerdville. I'm sorry.
See what I said? I'm like, I know Joe would like this.
But there's actually two Sears locations that have reopened. Reason being, they couldn't sell the store, so the company was sinking money sitting on the property. So they said, well, okay,
might
let's
as well
just
throw some junk in there.
Exactly. Let's throw some stuff in there. And so they're not permanent stores, but they have reopened.
See, now that would
stores.
Be an opportunity
to
just try some other stuff out. Like, seriously, all tools.
Yeah.
Make it a hardware store.
They did that. There was a Sears Hardware in Hornell that just did the Craftsman. But remember, Sears sold Craftsman. So they don't even have the exclusive rights to their own brand anymore.
Oh, man. That's rough. Well, you know, so long to Kmart.
Yeah.
It was great.
I remember the one they tore down here. And now look how amazing that plaza is.
On the text board, 803-0930 to join myself and Joe at all this morning, 803-0930 to give us a call or hit us up on the text board. A lot of people, Hill's Popcorn and Icy's, Target, I think, took over Gold Circle. What's Gold Circle? I don't know that. Two people have mentioned Gold Circle, and I am not familiar.
That's not ringing.
With Gold Circle. I remember brand names. I remember Hills and Ames. I do not remember Gold Circle. That must be before our time.
I remember Ames taking over.
Somebody else, Kmart was the best store ever. You could find things you couldn't find anywhere else. But isn't that the whole point? Like, you could find those things somewhere else, and that's why they went out of business.
Yeah.
You can find most of the stuff at Target and then Walmart. See, Walmart was smart. You can, you know, Walmart now compared to a Walmart in the 90s and early 2000s, is night and day.
Yes.
And I mean literally night and day. The dimly lit Walmart where that could have gone the way of Kmart easily.
Yes.
But they invested into all their stores. Like now you go in, it's bright. Stuff is
everything's
not
there.
On the ground.
Right.
Like
Walmart is straight. I wouldn't say cleaner. It's everything is more neat and
it's neat.
Yeah.
I want to go in a store and have it be neat. There's some stores slipping on their neatness who are known for their neatness.
Yes.
And that's troubling because you got to be neat. I got to be able to go in there and not be digging through stuff. It should be where it is on the rack. Like all this stuff should kind of make sense.
And Walmart made all their stores super centers. So then they all have the grocery, the electronics.
They're obnoxiously big and they got, you know, big aisles, big and bright. And I think it kind of saved them because I would never go into one before they redesigned the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think it worked well.
Kmart, it's unfortunate that it went the way of Ames and Hills, but
Kmart, I remember the little merry-go-round in the front. Remember that thing? The three-horse little circular 25-cent.
They had the old.
Those little toys. Yeah. Or, you know,
what do you call those? They're horse. Not arcade games, but.
Those little ride-on, whatever they are, things.
Yeah, they moved them from Kmart and put them in the middle of the boulevard.
Are those the same ones?
Maybe not.
Well, speaking of the mall, it's, you know, another point of contention, Joe. And we were talking about this last week, and then I was really thinking about this over the weekend. And a few people were, talking with me about how it just doesn't seem to make sense. So there were a couple stories late last week. We were talking about on Friday. On Thursday night, there was a meeting in Orchard Park to discuss rezoning around the stadium. And, you know, now there's going to be a new stadium. How do they capitalize on that? And the rezoning process in Orchard Park, it's kind of, you know, it's moving along, but not as fast as a lot of people would like to see. And it is a little curious, some of what's being done there. And this example, it got pointed out to me. I was thinking about it as I was leaving the door here Friday, and then it was brought up a couple times in conversation over the weekend. And in Orchard Park, rezoning around the stadium, they're talking about lifting the limit or moving the limit up of how big a building can be in some of these zones around the stadium. And the figure that was thrown around last week was around 5 stories tall. Mm. And, you know, I'm thinking, like, that seems a little short. Like, I feel like the new stadium, which is going to be much taller than the current stadium, and you could probably almost see that from where the construction is right now. If you're going down there later on this evening, that it is already taller.
Yeah.
It's going to kind of dwarf the old stadium with how it looks. And 5 stories, I don't think, is going to look that big when you're putting it right next to this big, huge football stadium. Like my thinking here is, all right, I understand some of what you want to keep in Orchard Park. You don't necessarily want huge buildings all over the place, but you're talking about an area right next to a giant football stadium. Like, there's already the huge building there in this area. You can build up more. And you can allow, and by the way, it's not even saying that people will build up more. You would just be allowing for, you know, instead of 5, why not go up to 6, 7, or 10, Joe? And I bring up 10 because it was put in the news. The Buffalo News had a story on the Boulevard Mall project last Friday. And this had been over a year old. People have been talking about this, of the rezoning around the Boulevard Mall site. And part of the rezoning allows for buildings up to 10 stories in height on the site of the mall. And a lot of people in Amherst were speaking out about that when the zoning happened. And again, I think that was about a year ago. It might have even been a year and a half or longer before, saying, you know, 10 stories, awfully tall for that area of Amherst. And, you know, I'm thinking, because we're talking about both stories on the same day last week, and a couple of people were saying to me, why is this not reversed? Why are we talking only 5 stories right next to the new giant football stadium, and yet we're talking about 10-story buildings in Amherst, basically in a residential area?
Which would be the tallest buildings on Niagara Falls Boulevard.
It would, by far.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be way taller than anything else that's around there. And
but makes
how
sense
does
for
it
what
make?
That, but makes sense for what that development is.
Does it? Because right now the development is nothing.
Right, but what? But the plans of the development are to have a live-in center where everything is on that property.
10 stories still, though. I've been to, I've seen some of these other lifestyle centers that old malls, or even not even old malls, just big spaces, and they built it up on nothing. 10 stories is very big for that type of area. And there's a proof of concept in parts around, you know, around the country, but not here in Western New York. And putting up a 10-story structure right there in Amherst, right next to another neighborhood where you've got a lot of homes, it might not just look weird. I kind of feel like that's going to be something that will have a lot of, you know, I think about, because that's in the my old school district, the Sweet Home School District.
That's right.
I think about the school district. You know, you put a 10-story residential structure right in the middle of a school district that, you know, is looking at its... What does that do to the district's plans that, you know, they might have been thinking of, as a lot of districts are across Western New York, closing down or consolidating buildings, and now all of a sudden they would have something else? Why would one area say 5 and that's it? The other area say, sure, 10, maybe let's go more, when it just seems like it should be
the other way
flip-flopped.
Around. Yeah. You know, and you say 10, you don't realize how, because I'm thinking of some larger buildings, you know, down transit, some of the new apartment buildings they're building. None of them are 10 stories. Like, you know what I mean? Like, buildings that look big compared to the layout of some of the busier areas in Western New York, not downtown, 10 would look big even there. Again, look at Transit Road in East Amherst. Look at the Boulevard now. I'm thinking of the buildings you mentioned, your old school district. Well, the street that it's named after. I'm thinking of all those buildings they built on there. None of them 10 stories. So that is quite large, and you wonder if they're even going to build a 10-story building. I think 5 would probably be perfect for that project. And out by the stadium, I mean, we are talking about, you know, what's the one thing people are saying? Hotels and business and mixed use. I definitely think Orchard Park going 10 would blend in, because you have that huge stadium there. Brian, by the way, also in Snyder, New York, this was a big issue, part of Amherst, of rezoning on Main Street, a building that they tore down because they want to put one of these larger apartment buildings up. I think Amherst got their way, and they were able to get the rezone. I can't remember for how many stories, because the building's torn down. They're currently working on the apartment complex on Main Street in Snyder.
Well, you add this to, so we're talking about the Boulevard Mall redevelopment. And then now this was in Buffalo Business First, Eastern Hills Mall redevelopment project, now going to cost $29.6 million over 10 years to update the sewer lines. Not accounting for inflation, that figure. The plan has been to do commercial development first, but could that start without a commitment to that sewer project and $30 million that it would take to upgrade there? That's one of those things, Joe, that I would kind of think you'd have figured out before you made all these plans, right?
And close them all
down. You're going to need to flush the toilets, but it could result in some headaches now going forward. Are any of these big redevelopment plans actually going to happen, right? And it's like we're square one back here, something you and I talk about all the time, of, all right, Western New York, the area of big plans and drawings and nothing actually happening.
I really do. I mean, I'd like to see both of them. You know, I remember the walking around the Eastern Hills Malls, the final days that it was a mall, Brian, and seeing the big billboards. You know, they had replaced the directories at the mall with the plans for the future of Eastern Hills. And you're looking at that, and I was thinking this would be great to have to redevelop this property, to pave the parking lot, and also give... bring more people in for the businesses that are hanging around. And a lot of those businesses, Brian, are hanging around with the hope that this project gets started. So I'd like to see all of these happen. I'd love to see, and I think we will see, a lot of development around the stadium. As for the two mall sites, I'd like to see both of them happen. If you ask me which one will happen, if any, obviously I'm always going to go with Doug Jamal because he seems to get things done. And I think he will... eventually, I think the Boulevard will look exactly or close like the plans that he has been talking about.
Well, it's not Doug Jamal anymore, right? Now it's Doug Jamal plus...
Amherst.
TBD.
Right.
You know, Amherst now is retaining the original plan. All right, you buy the property, and then it goes, you give it to the town of Amherst so they can go through eminent domain and get out of some of these lease deals, and then we're giving it back to you.
Right.
Well, no. That plan went out the window. Now, the town is keeping a third of the property, and then some going to Doug Jamal, and then another developer is also on here. So now you have all these other moving parts working together. You have a big TBD on a whole third of the project over in Orchard Park by the stadium, and you know Hamburg by the stadium, too. If we're talking about the ECC South Campus, all right, they've identified a place where they want to move to, the college, that is.
Right.
But it still is a big question mark of, all right, so now, look, the stadium's going to be up. About a year from now, it'll look pretty done.
Yeah,
And then
exactly.
A year and a half from now...
It will be.
It will be.
Yeah.
A year and a half from now, what's that site going to look like? Because now it's, all right, so the college is moving, and then, you know, we're going to look for somebody to buy it, and then they're going to come up with a plan, and then they're going to have their own sewer issue. Right? I mean, like, when are these things actually going to happen for us to capitalize? And if you live by one of these projects, if you live by the Eastern Hills Mall, which is now just a big, you know, there's some things hanging on like around the plaza, but for the most part, the mall itself is just a big nothing. It's like a black hole in the middle of the neighborhood. Or if you live by the Boulevard Mall, are you kind of wishing that the mall just stayed viable and you didn't go for the pie in the sky because it seems like a long way away?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Boulevard Mall to me, and we've talked about this, Brian, is the most surprising of how quickly that mall just fell apart. I mean, really, it was a almost full mall just before 2018, 2019, and how quickly a lot of stores left that mall. Eastern Hills, you're right. It's Penny's, it's Duff's, it's Stolot, it's the toy store, which name is escaping my head right now. And like I said, a lot of them are hanging on, hoping that this project goes into motion. And as someone who does live right down the street from, used to live right across the street, living right down the street from the Eastern Hills Mall, I mean, it's a project that you want to see in motion very soon. It's a big plot of land. You've got the plaza right next to it, which, again, is hanging on, as you said. You'd like to see some, if the sewer needs to be addressed, you'd like to see that in motion. And right now, since they've closed the interior, nothing's gone on. Right, I've walked through it a few times. Nothing has gone on since they closed it. Remember, that was in January. They told the stores, you get your one last Christmas, and then you got to get out of here. And since then, it's been sitting empty. No work done. And now, a big question mark over a sewage problem, which I'm guessing they need to get that approval from Clarence and get the money, Clarence does, before anything can happen.
What's your level of doubt? What's happening? I mean, what's going on? You think we'll ever see it? And if you're going by the stadium, how interested are you in checking out some of that construction going on? 803-0930, join me and Joe, Beamaz and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN and getting you ready for, are we getting you ready? Hopefully. We're passing your time.
Yeah.
As everyone's just kind of counting down for kickoff tonight.
Excited.
7:30 is good. Like, that's a good time. Yeah. What, did they kick off? I'm trying to think of, you know, the other week. I mean, it's like a week and a half ago now on Thursday night.
8:15.
Did they kick off at 8:15?
Yes.
It wasn't later?
Their coverage started at 7. They went to the field at 7:45, so Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit could talk, and they kicked off at 8:15.
It was right at 8:15? Yep. Okay. So I didn't know if that started a little later. And that was, I mean, that was over a while before it was actually over, but that was 11 o'clock, the game was over.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice, you know, 10 o'clock, this game would be over.
And
That's good.
I expect this game to kick off pretty quickly because they'll do the pregame till 7:30. Then that will move to ABC for the 8:15 game, and they'll go right to Orchard Park.
Yeah, boom. Again, it is confusing how these games are. So you would think, all right, Monday Night Football, ABC.
Right.
You know, ESPN, ABC. Not the case. There's two football games tonight. They're airing nationally the, who's playing?
Bengals Cincinnati and Commanders.
Cincinnati, Washington. That game is on ABC across the country. So the Bills game tonight is on ESPN, but if you want to watch it over the air, antenna, or you know something like you don't have ESPN, it's on Channel 4 locally. So it is a little confusing. You wouldn't necessarily think, all right, ESPN will be on Channel 4 locally. Usually that's on Channel 7. No. 4 locally on ESPN, of course, on WGR.
So, yeah, because the Amazon game was on Channel 7.
Yeah.
This game is on 4. And next time they're on Monday Night Football, we'll be on Channel 7.
The Amazon game is on Channel 7. The ABC game is on Channel 4. It's tough to wrap your head around it.
Yeah.
And we were talking. I come in this morning, and it was one of the first things I was looking for. Like, all right, let me nail down just so we can say where you can find the game, because that's what everybody's always asking. I got different answers from like 3 different websites and 3 different answers from 3 different people who were in here at 4 o'clock in the morning. So it was a little confusing, but.
Well, because the last time they did this, remember the Bills Titans was one a split as well. And that game ended up on Channel 2. So
it's always something. I mean, there's been games on MeTV before.
Yep.
Fox 29. The
remember the Yahoo game back in the day? That was on Fox 29.
A Yahoo game.
The last.
I
hate to bring up other losses to Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah. Another loss to Jacksonville. Jacksonville. What? I mean, come on. You've got to be. You can't tell me that, you know, he'll never say it publicly, but you can't tell me Sean McDermott is not sitting there right now just going like, you know, we got to just hammer Jacksonville. Like, we can't have this awesome team for basically my entire head coaching career. And just have these stains of losses to Jacksonville.
Well, the franchise,
all over.
The franchise has stains. I mean, Jim Kelly's last game, a loss to Jacksonville.
Do you believe in that? Is there something to it just like a team having your number?
It seems that way. I don't know if, I mean, you're talking different personnel throughout the years and everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Jacksonville has been, as you put, I mean, it's Jacksonville was a game that the Bills limped into the playoffs. They could have won that game. McDermott's first playoff game, and the offense didn't show up. So you look every turn of this franchise, there are notable losses to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville, so it's not like, here's the thing about this. It's not like the Bills have never beaten the Jags. Right. Jacksonville leads the all-time series 10-9.
Oh, wow.
But it's all the like major moments.
Yeah.
That seemed to, I can think of one major moment where the Bills beat the Jags. It was my favorite moment up until, you know, we've been good the past 5 years.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie running it into the corner of the end zone. We beat the Jags. That was like week 4. For like almost 30 years of my life, my favorite Bills memory was a week 4 win against Jacksonville to show you how good the team was for like my entire life until recently. But that was it. And everything else. You mentioned Kelly's last game in the playoffs. 2 playoff losses to Jacksonville we've had. 2 losses, you know, in front of everybody in London.
Yep.
We had the loss a couple of years ago to Urban Meyer and the Jags, who were like the worst team. Everyone's like, how are they so bad? You know, this is and then they just go and beat the Bills. So there's like 5 games that you could pick out where we just don't beat them.
Right.
And every time we do seem to beat them, it's in these games no one's paying attention to. Right.
The Flutie game. I can think of two times we've beaten the Jacksonville. The Flutie game and Josh Allen's first season. Both at home. We don't play Jacksonville well outside of Orchard Park.
Doesn't seem that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that way. I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe there's not. But it would be good to... The Titans are another one of these teams.
Yes.
Where it's like every time there seems to be... It's like it's not like we've never beaten the Titans before. But in the big moments, you know, the forward pass. Yeah. Monday Night Football. Tuesday afternoon football.
Oh, that's
you know,
right.
During the COVID year. Like all these different moments, they seem to kind of get the better of us, it seems. We'll have a chance to write that in just a couple of weeks here. But
and we'll all be happy for the Titans game because it's Sunday at 1.
It is. it will be nice to have that Sunday at 1. But Bills and Jets, I don't know, maybe there is something to that team having your number on the big stage.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
That's it is funny that there are two games because Steve Roberts called in. I said, happy game day, forgetting that he's a huge Commanders fan. And then he talked my ears off about the Commanders for a minute. I go, oh, they're ready to talk to you.
Oh, wrong game.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Steve.
You're talking about that game. We won't be watching that game. Yeah, I'm sorry. No. Although maybe we will. Well, if we beat them good enough.
I won't be.
Why not?
Because I'll be at the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I won't be watching.
Are you? So you were at the opener. You're at this game. The construction's going on. There's different traffic patterns. Is it drastically different than it was last year for you?
No, but you know, I park a mile or two away from the stadium. Yeah. So it's not. I'm not the right person to ask because I don't get myself into. By the way, they raised the parking lot $10. I'm a little upset about that. Parking 2 miles away, but I don't get into that because I park
what
before.
What do you expect?
I park before the madness.
Supply and demand.
But it is, you know how high up my seats are. It is nice to look over and just be able to look on top of that. Well, not on top. You're still below. But to look down on that stadium, it's really cool how far the progress
has come. See the construction?
Yeah.
You can also see where you parked?
Yeah, yeah.
Look over that way?
I got asked by a sheriff, you know how they have that step up on the back wall? I was asked to step down.
Yeah, please, sir. Yeah. Not really a safe place to stand. But all right, you know, there's going to be some headaches. I am always the park further away and walk type of person. I was at the hockey game on Saturday night. There is, by the way, a Sabres preseason game at the arena tonight. They moved that up to 5 o'clock. So if you have a ticket, it says 7. It might actually change on your phone, but that's been bumped up to 5 o'clock because of the Bills game. It was... taking my oldest on Saturday night, and we park further away. You know, I'm not paying for the parking close. I don't want to wait in the traffic. I'll walk a little bit, and then we go. My walk got a little longer this year, and I need to know if it's because of one of two things. And I need to know the real reason, not the, you know, we're covering up for one thing or another.
Right.
Because... last year, it was annoying but passable where the road, South Park, was closed behind the arena because of the construction going on at the DL&W terminal. It's going to be soon usable. And now if you look back there, there's kind of new structures being put there. They're preparing to, at least I still think it's the plan, put a pedestrian bridge that connects the DL&W terminal to the arena. And, you know, a new entranceway to the arena. So there is construction going on there right now. There is also, much publicized right next to the arena, a big crumbling old brick building.
That's right. That's still there.
That is still there and important enough to save, but, you know, weak enough that if the big bad wolf comes by, even though it's made of bricks, it'll come tumbling down.
Right.
So now that area, South Park, that was closed to vehicle traffic, but you could still walk through, has been completely closed.
Mm.
You can't walk through that area anymore. And I need to know if it's because of the construction or if you cannot walk through that area at all because of the danger of that building that should be torn down. And I'm not liking it because it makes my walk, because I like to park down on Ohio Street and walk in. And now I'm got to walk around another block to get into the arena on game days.
Now, I don't know the answer, and I hope you get the answer. I'm guessing it's the buildings, because if I recall an interview you did, you and Susan did earlier when this all first happened, there was a comment made, we want this cleared up before hockey games start so people can walk by. Yeah. Well, if that was going to be closed because of construction, would that comment have even been made?
Now, in the defense, there is still a month, a little less than a month until the real games start, you know, before when hopefully there's a lot more people in there and the actual season starts. These are just preseason games. But I tried to walk the way I normally walk last year, was completely blocked from doing so. Had to walk around down the cobblestone streets, around 95, was it 95 Perry, and, you know, past the former Labatt house and into the arena in the front exit. I usually walk down the stairwell in the back and go out that way. Now, can't do that. You got to walk around the other way to, and then back around, and it
That's annoying.
Yeah. Well, it's annoying when it's nice outside. It's going to, I'm going to be having some few choice words when it's cold and windy in January and I'm having to make the extra walk. So it's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Heading into the arena from, you know, that side of things, not the canal side, but the other side.
Wow. That is, yeah, I'd be upset once it gets cold. Like, it's beautiful right now, but once it gets cold.
Yeah. And then I'm picturing, like, all right, the Bills Stadium. Is it better or worse? It doesn't seem to be having the same sort of impact.
Nah.
You know, people, if you're walking along the construction site, and I'm trying to think of where this is, where you can't really cut through areas of ECC where you used to, like, maybe walk along the grass, take a shortcut. You can't do that anymore. But beside that, walking into the stadium doesn't seem to have as big of an impact.
No, pedestrian routes are all open. And like I said, I noticed nothing, but I'm the wrong person to ask because my walk will not be affected by construction at all. And when the new stadium opens, Brian, I just have to walk across the street.
Walk a little further.
A little further across the street.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Yeah, of course.
I like the walk.
So do I.
Generally speaking, especially before a Bills game. Like to walk, a little tailgate extender.
And I don't, And you know what? I don't mind walking after because I've given time now for traffic to start to move. By the time I'm in my car, I'm not really fighting traffic to get on the street.
No.
So works good both ways.
We were talking in the first segment about some of the projects going on across Western New York and the questions that have to be around everybody. Is this really going to happen? The Boulevard Mall, the Eastern Hills Mall, development around the new stadium in Orchard Park, when that new stadium is up. I mean, and you could see it up. A lot of people were in disbelief that the stadium was actually going to happen, even after it was announced.
Right.
I don't think there's any disbelief right now
when we're
looking at the construction site and what's going on there. But will anything happen around the stadium site? I think there's still some disbelief as to will things actually pick up. You know, for all the talk about, oh, look at Green Bay, look at New England. Ah, will it ever happen here? You mentioned, of course, the former Transit Town, or not Transit, North Town Plaza.
Oh, yeah.
Station 12.
Station 12 still sitting empty with no doors. The old Dunn Tire not torn down. Last time I had Brian Culpa on to talk about Station 12, he said, yeah, you know, just a few more things left. Got to tear down the Dunn Tire, repave all of it. They haven't done anything since then. No doors on the structure that is built, obviously, because you're waiting to see what you have to adjust for. And now if you add, see, this is why I think it's in Amherst's best interest. Something's got to happen because you add that empty space where you have Whole Foods complaining they're bleeding $1 million a year because they thought they were going to be part of this big complex. And now you got the Boulevard Mall where you forced Penny's out. You took Penny's to court so this could happen. How embarrassing if nothing happens now. I mean, you wasted resources, money, taking them to court three times to get them to give you their property back. And now nothing happens. It would be a lot of failed projects in a row, obviously saved by Costco, but two big projects failed. I just, Brian, and maybe this is me, and you know, maybe I'm taking my head out of Western New York history. I just can't believe that in 10 years we're going to be talking about big, empty plots of space on transit in Amherst or on the Boulevard in Amherst. I just can't imagine these two spaces on the two huge, busy streets. But I also can't imagine Station 12 still being empty on Sheridan, where so many people pass it every day.
You can't imagine it? You really can't?
In 10 years.
It's been
5.
look at downtown Buffalo. Look at right north of Canal Side.
No, I know.
They've been calling it the North Odd Block. It's been sitting there as a pit.
I know.
For 10 years as everything's been booming and doing everything surrounding it. And it's still nothing there. So I can envision emptiness in all these spaces for 10 years because
it's
the Buffalo way of thinking.
It's been more than 10 years. Odd was torn down in 09, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to go, since the Odd's been in use, you go back to 96.
Yeah.
Nothing's been going on there.
That's right.
But I'm saying it's been 10 years basically since that area's seen, you know, everyone likes to use the word renaissance. I'll just call it an uptick in traffic as people are, you know, around there. I can't call it a renaissance when you still have a big pit in the middle of it. But it's been 10 years since we've seen that. And guess what? Still, it's actually been over 10 years.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, obviously, we know it can. I love to bring up the half, you know what, word we can't say on the radio, half blank projects in Western New York. But it's just, those are two so busy areas. And you've got businesses that are hanging on, hoping something will happen, right? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of money that's already been spent, as I mentioned with the Boulevard project. You know, it's not free to take people to court. So taking all these businesses to court to free up the mall space, it would be like I said, it would be a back-to-back embarrassment to have Station 12 and the Boulevard Mall both collapse.
You know, it's been 10 years just about since Harbor Center.
Oh wow, really? Time's flying.
2014. Looking back at construction photos. And I mean, 2014, it was starting to go. I can't remember the exact date and when that opened. Might have been a little after. It might not be quite 10 years, but it's right at about that age range and where everything happened. And still, you know, that's what we're looking at right across the street from Harbor Center, the big pit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine it. Because you've seen it happen before in Buffalo.
You're right. I mean, I'm just, if you ask me, will one of them happen? I'm still going to put my chips that one of the two projects, either Eastern Hills and Clarence or Boulevard and Amherst, I will say in 10 years, Brian, one of those two will be completed.
That's the optimism we like to see.
And maybe Station 12 will have a store in it.
No, well, let's not go that far. All right, we've got the Bills and Jags coming up later on today. Can't wait for kickoff. You're going to the game?
Going. I won't be here tomorrow, but I know you'll talk about
that
it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I used to. It's just now. I don't know. I don't know if I can get home in time and whatever. I think the Bills win by 2 touchdowns tonight, and hope to hear you talking about a win tomorrow morning.
I hope so, too. We'll be back here, and you got David coming up after the news with Lucas on WBEN.